can't tell if the chemistry's good by looking at it. It wasn't clear yesterday. For the last time, the saltwater pool is a chlorine pool.
This is the Talking Pools Podcast with pool pros from every region in the country. If it happens in a pool, you'll hear about it here. Everything from tips and hacks to the latest tricks and trends. Breaking news, we lay it on the line. We tell it like it is because we think you deserve to know.
All those typing sounds. G'day folks, Peter here. Welcome back to Mondays Down Under on the Talking Pools Podcast, where I'm joined by Lee and Shane. G'day guys, how are you?
Hi Peter, I'm great. How are you, Shane?
I'm living the dream, thank you.
That's the way,
so far as well.
How's your week's going? I know we're only recording this on Tuesday, but...
Well, lots of training. Yeah, I'm still working through the... retail rewrite that we're doing at IR Learning. So that's doing really well. And got an influx of new students with aquatic technical operations and the service, Cert 3. So that's great. Everybody's really starting to think about training for the winter period and getting their qualifications, which is fantastic to see our industry being proactive, our industry members, I should say, being proactive and improving, investing in themselves and investing in their teams and improving their businesses by expert knowledge. It's good.
Yeah. What about you, Shane?
As I was saying earlier, it comes in waves. Last week kind of slowed down a little bit coming near the end of the week. I thought I'd have a bit of time catching up. But had five calls, and yeah, as you said, Peter, it's Tuesday, 6 p.m. here, five leak detection calls, new clients already. So, I think I'm probably going to be fully booked for the next couple of weeks, which
so
is good.
Is leak detection something you offer, Shane? It's one of your services?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, it is, yep. So, I do enjoy that side of the industry that we're in. Mm-hmm. It certainly gets you thinking a lot more outside the box, outside the pool, outside the spa pool. So, it's good. I enjoy it, especially when the weather's nice as well. You can take a plunge in people's pools and get paid for it. So,
we just don't, for a leak. Just don't like the winter ones where you've got to, get in those freezing cold pools. But,
I mean, usually when it drops down to a certain temperature, we put a stop on it. I mean, I wear a wetsuit and everything, but, your hands and your head gets cold.
Yes.
And people don't realise that, they're like, well, you've got a wetsuit, you'll be fine, but it's when you're doing a leak detection, if you're dye testing, you need the water as still as possible. Mm. So you could be under the water for an hour, hardly moving. So you can imagine you get a little bit nippy underneath there. So, we do need to put a stop to it when the winter comes.
It's certainly a specialised area. It was something that we looked at potentially in our business, adding it to our repertoire, so to speak. And I did look at out of the US some of those big kits and the training that goes with it to give you that full underground and sonar detection ability, the video and the sonar detection ability. So it was certainly going to be an investment, and as long as you can see the return from that investment, I think it's it can be money well spent, because it's certainly a service that's not offered by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Well, I know in our area it definitely wasn't. The guy that used to come and do our leak detection would travel from nearly 2 hours away to come and it, and he was servicing our region and a big part of the Canberra region. And again, that was still another 2 hour trip from his home to that location as well. So it was definitely sought after. So if if somebody's got an interest in it, it's certainly something that they could look at adding to their scope of what they do. And you've taken that and run with it, which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You've just given me an idea, Lee.
Oh, have I?
Because you're only 3 hours away from me, so maybe I should start advertising on the East Coast.
A 3 hour flight. That might add a lot to the fees.
Maybe.
I was going to say the call out fees are killer. I had a Facebook on my business Facebook page, had a request a year or two ago. And I got back and said, what suburb are you in? And they mentioned something I'd never heard of. Google search, couldn't find it in WA. And I said, what's your postcode? I can't find it. And sure enough, it was in Queensland. So that basically it's the part of Queensland that's diagonally opposite me on the continent. I said, well, I could, but the call-out fee's going to kill it.
How many hours is that driving, Peter, roughly?
Oh, what do you reckon, Lee? Three, 4 days?
Days. Okay. Yeah. And that's as the crow flies. That's not following the roads.
Yeah.
If you follow the roads, it's probably a couple of weeks.
It's similar distance from Los Angeles over to what's on the other side of the country, not quite New York, but
New York,
not quite that far. But diagonally across, it would be that sort of distance. So big trip.
Wow.
The leak detection guys here are flat out. There's a shortage of supply in the industry for it. Although I know
it is a specialised field.
Well, it is. Speaking to one guy though who does it, I was talking to him about a variety of topics, and he mentioned that he really loves doing leak detection, but his insurance policy specifically excludes leak detection. I said, look, don't ever do work you're not insured for, because if something goes wrong and you end up dumping, 40,000 litres of water into someone's living room, that's you gone. That's your business gone. You're stuffed. So,
seems strange, though, because leak detection, you wouldn't think, you're not dealing with anything dangerous. Like, you're not dealing with chemicals or...
It's one of the
materials.
Budget insurance companies, the type that advertises 20 times a day on TV. But I've had a couple of interesting jobs this week. One of them saw the customer for the first time this morning. They rang me last week. They had a technician from a company that will not be named, and I use the term technician generously here. They didn't realise the customer was working from home that day. So the customer watched him pull up in his van, sit in the driveway for half an hour, walk around to the backyard, look at the pool for 3 minutes, and then leave and sent an invoice. There was another one where they sold a different customer a refurbished pump, and it was a 400-litre-a-minute pump on a 24, 25-inch sand filter, which is rated up to about, that one's rated to about 270 litres, so way overpowered. When I turned it on, you could tell that the bearings were shot. That distinctive stuff bearing sound. And also they couldn't prime it because there was a leak, a blockage in the suction line. And I tested it with my own 1 horsepower pump, which is suitably rated for that filter. And it wouldn't prime either. So yeah, blockage. But they just walked away, didn't do a thing. I've spoken to them, to the customer, and said, look, this is going to need a plumber who's got specialist equipment for clearing that blockage. Nothing I've got is managed to budget. The big challenge on that one is, as we spoke earlier, Lee, if there's a check valve underground, which happens. I don't know why they put the bloody things underground, but we do see that.
Yeah, so crazy when a pool builder installs them underground. I have actually had a pool that badly needed one, and given the location and this sort of plumbing, it really had to be underground. But I actually said to them during the install, how about we build a pit, put the valve in the pit, and then put a lid over the top of it so that it was fully accessible. It was a clear top check valve, so it was then easy to see, easy to take the top off and actually clear any debris that got caught in there for whatever reason. But, It served a purpose, but otherwise, certainly don't believe in check valves being put underground where you can't service them or access
them.
And that
buried.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you don't even know they're there, do you? That's the thing.
Yeah.
I have one pool, a regular service customer. The tenants have changed in this property a few times, but I've dealt with this pool for a few years now. And when I first got there, they weren't happy with the previous pool guy and said he didn't do a good job and the chemistry was way out when I first got there. But the equipment was all in a pit lower than the pool level. So went in there, went to empty the basket, and there were no check valves installed. There is no way in a blind fit that guy ever emptied that pump basket. A, it was absolutely crammed full, but B, no check valve. So I put a couple of those in, one before the pump, one after the chlorinator cell, and then I could actually service the equipment. But, yeah, I don't know what he was playing at. Or why did they even install it without, sorry, not check valve, two-way valve, shut-off valve.
Two-way valve.
So, it's been a long day and it's only 1:30. How they did that, or why they did it, I have no idea.
Sometimes there's no rhyme and reason. It's like when I see plumbing with, 20, 90-degree bends and I go, I wanted to shake the person and say, have you ever heard of a 45? Like, please.
I had one. The waste pipe did a loop-de-loop. It basically went out. They must have had a special on 90 elbows that week at the supplier because it went out, up at a funny angle, but 90 degrees, but tilted. Then another 90, another 90, another 90, and then down. So basically there was a loop in the waste pipe. And I thought, what is wrong with you people?
Oh, my husband did a full replumb one day on a small above ground pool, and it was used for swimming lessons. And they got a plumber in to install all the equipment, and then we had to go and do a job for them. And he looked at it and just went, "I know why you've got flow issues." And they had something like 32 90-degree bends. Now, this is just a standard filtration setup, suction to returns with an inline heater, heat pump. And so nothing hugely out of the ordinary. There was something like 32 90-degree bends, and he reduced it down to 6, I think, by the time he'd finished. He used a couple of 45s as well. But he just said it was just insane what this plumber had done and made the plumbing so much and the flow so much harder than it needed to be. It's just, yeah, crazy. But that, I suppose that's what you get when you get a plumber instead of a pool guy to do it. We don't like spaghetti guys.
No.
Like, if everybody listens to this, stop the spaghetti, clean simple lines, improve your flow, use more 45s, less 90s.
Or sweep elbows. Although they do cost a bit more,
so
but they're great. Imagine trying to clear a blockage out of that suction line with 36 bloody... nah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Today I thought we could look at a couple of tips for sales, for how to relate to people better as selling. And this is something, a couple of things I've learnt over the years and worked on developing. And, I mean, we've all heard that, you know, when you're speaking to someone, try to match their pace and tone of speaking. If somebody's speaking very, very slowly to you, you don't want to really rattle on like some drunken rapper. They'll just get lost. Likewise, if somebody's talking very fast to you, you don't want to be talking really slow because they'll just switch off. But the exception is if somebody's aggressive towards you. The more aggressive they are towards me, the more polite I become, because that gives them absolutely nothing to work off.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if they take that attitude...
You just match in their personality on that specific day and time.
Yeah, Peter. Pretty much. But I don't know if you guys have heard much about the DISC profile. That's a way of measuring and looking at behaviour types. And since I've started using this, I found my sale to become much more successful. Now, basically, you've got four main behavioural factors. You've got DISC is an acronym, D-I-S-C. So D is for dominance, how you respond to problems, to challenges, the amount of drive someone has. So you look at the people who are just all right, this is my goal, I will get there, heaven help anyone who stands in my way. I is for influence. They're the people who are more, I'm oversimplifying here, but they're people who will often do things more for show. They're people who, they care about what other people think about them, whereas the dominance types, they tend not to care about people so much as their goal. Then you get S for steadiness. That's about pace, consistency. These people are more sensitive. These people aren't really driven in the same way. A lot of the time there you'll find they're more concerned about people than results. And then C is for compliance. They are the people who like everything to be every I dotted, every T crossed. If you've got a customer like that, then that's when you bring out the spec sheets. A lot of engineers fall into that category because they're so used to analyzing everything. So what I the way I do it, and again oversimplified, but if somebody seems to be more of the dominance type, they want results. For them, I tend to be much more brief in what I say. It's like, okay, this is the pump I recommend. This is the reason. It'll work very well. It'll save you money. It'll do the job. This is the price. When do you want it? And that type of person generally responds better to being blunt. They don't care about how many watts of power it draws. Will it do the job? Will it send me broke? Will it? When can you do it? For I, the influence, they're the people who care more about what other people think. Gee, if you've got that pump, you know, this pump I'm recommending, people are going to love it. People are going to be so impressed by that. You would not believe how many variable speed pumps I've sold and also how many higher end chlorinators I've sold people just by taking that. I mean, I will never sell somebody something bigger or extra unless there's a valid reason for it. But when somebody's concerned with that, that's gold to know. For the steadiness, the people person, they don't care about how flash it looks. They don't care about, again, power consumption or water flow rates or anything. For them, I find a very effective approach is, gee, your kids are going to love playing in this pool, love swimming in this pool, playing around, and most importantly, they'll be safe. Obviously, that's got to be true, but that's the sort of the thing. That's my wife's type. I'm more the dominance type. I just want the job done. And then you get compliance. How we respond to procedures, constraints, things like that, as I said earlier. A lot of engineers fall into that category. They will literally, I've had people ask in that category, looking at buying a robotic cleaner. I'll never forget one guy. He wanted to know the power consumption of the motor inside it. I've never been before asked this before. Another one will ask, oh, I want to know how many volts there are going to a chlorinator cell. Well, yeah, I have to look that one up because nobody ever asks for that. So where it gets really interesting is people tend to have a primary and secondary behavior type. So you might have someone who's dominant with minor compliance. So that's what I actually respond to on the disc test. I want the problem done, but also it is important somewhat the specifications on it. Some people might be influence and steadiness. So, yeah, they do care what other people think, but they also do care about the people. The big thing is you very, very rarely get someone who's primary dominance and minorly steadiness. So the driven, goal-orientated person doesn't typically have a strong people relationship. The strong influencers often don't have a strong compliance. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So be aware of the type of person you're looking at, you're speaking with, and that can really help you with your sales strategy, sales pitch, as it were. And one very handy way of doing it.
A lot of people might say that it's actually hard to ascertain those things in a fairly brief conversation. So is there telltale signs, like when a first person, their first interaction as to what type of personality they are? Like,
yeah.
I suppose the influencers are probably more likely to be interested in the how something looks, the touchy-feely type, that sort of thing. Like, is there anything
touchy-feely, not so much. Okay, for dominance, there you can tell they want the job done the way they ask questions. A lot of very successful people are that type. Elon Musk, Bill Gates, people like that. And you notice they're the people who don't put a lot of effort into their outward appearance. They're the ones who are going to be worth money, but, you know, they'll wear, you know, tracky dacks and a T-shirt. For our international listeners, tracky dacks are tracksuit pants. they just don't care. When somebody's got the designer labels on show and you see everything in their home or yard is the best brand, that's often an indication of high influence. They're concerned about people's opinions. A lot of them also, this is a good sign or a good indicator, a lot of them also will wear ridiculous socks. So they'll be wearing their black trousers and black shoes, but they'll have, you know, socks with pictures of bloody cartoon characters on them or something. It's more of a talking point. Steadiness, that's the one I actually find the hardest to see, but you can often pick that by, we've lost Lee. You can often pick that by the way they interact with other people. And compliance, yeah, they'll make it known by the questions they ask. Accountants are another one. Accountants are often very much into the detail of things, which is most appropriate for an accountant or an engineer, something like that. I wouldn't really want an accountant who's more the influence type, the type who wants everything to look good for show.
So is this something that you do on a regular basis, Peter, when you come to new clients?
All the time.
Try and analyse them?
Yep. It's a learned skill. It's a practice skill. You can't pick up a book and or listen to a podcast and say, oh, right, I know how to do this now. But with practice, it's very good. I actually did a training course that had a big part of it, big part of the course for networking, leadership, that sort of thing. DISC Profile was a very significant part of the course there.
Okay. That sounds very interesting. Actually, I've never heard of it myself.
Yeah.
This profile. So it's, definitely something to look into.
The big thing to remember there, though, as I say, is, oh, hello, Lee, you're back. The big thing is, you know, don't use it as a way of conning people. You know, don't. There was a group of pool shops near where I used to build pools, and they had about four shops. And every time a woman came in with a water sample for testing, and she was typically, if she was an age where it could be assumed she might have young kids, they would do the test, get the printout, word for word. I heard this from dozens of customers. They would say, gee, I wouldn't let my kids swim in that pool. They could get sick. That's just playing on emotion, playing on fears. And then they'd go try to sell them something like soda ash and dry acid on the same order. They were real scoundrels, but they completely destroyed their reputation in the whole area. So don't use it for that, but it can help you build rapport and relate to customers more quickly.
Tune in next Monday for the second half of our conversation on selling by mirroring the personality type with Peter.
I just wanted to take a minute to say thank you for listening today. I'm hoping you enjoyed the episode as much as we enjoyed putting it together for you. Listen, it's been a couple of wacky, crazy, screwed up years, from pandemic to Poolmageddon. I just want you to know that we are all in this together. If there's anything that we can do for you, send me an email at talkingpools@gmail.com. Again, that's talkingpools@gmail.com. We're here. This is your podcast. We are the Pool People's Podcast, of the pool people, for the pool people, by the pool people's podcast. This one is about you. So thank you for tuning in and listening. Do me a favor, click subscribe before you go. That way you don't miss an episode.